Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. Rock's not dead, it's just hiding, and you found it. Yeah.
Oh, you sound like Aaron Camaro.
I'm the most popular host on this show. I hear myself on it every week. Apparently,
yeah.
I find this show to be quite hilarious.
You do. You laugh all the time.
It's like sometimes I'm listening to it, and then I catch myself, and I say, am I laughing? And I go, no, that wasn't funny. But on the show, I find it hilarious.
Yeah, on the show,
messes me up.
You seem to laugh at the worst jokes possible.
Yeah, it's weird. I think we're going to start doing that with our show. Check this out. Hey, Chris, why did Vince Neil cross the road?
Why?
To get to the other side.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
See, even the worst jokes, it's perfect.
Yeah, that wasn't funny at all.
Okay, well, great. That's my point exactly.
So we're here to congratulate Cobras and Fire on 200 episodes of time wasted.
Yeah, you know, I was just reading a thing today that said like 53.8% of all podcasts, they don't make it. You know, they end up dropping off. You know, only the best survive. And for some reason, this show has survived also.
So there's an exception to the rule.
There's exceptions to the rule. Gotcha. Yeah, I don't understand why, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, I actually listened to two episodes of this show today.
You all right? You going to be okay?
Well, I kept hearing you laugh. It was getting pretty annoying. But yeah, just like that. Oh, God, it's like you're in the room. But yeah, they did their top five. And of course, you know, I think 200 episodes of praising Danko Jones.
I'm only assuming that they talked about Danko Jones and Ron Keel and maybe a little bit of the Weezer.
Yeah, Weezer. And I don't know if I heard anything about Weezer on that.
The Weezer.
The Weezer. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's like David LaRoth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect. You get it. See, we do listen to the show.
They did surprise me this year. They actually said something negative about the Gloria Sons. I never expected that to happen. You know, they seem to swing from their nuts pretty heartily. I don't know. What do we want to say about Cobras and Fire?
So, I mean, we're kind of responsible for this. We are, you know, the heads of the Decibel Geek podcasting network. It's our responsibility to come on to the Cobras and Fire show on their 200th episode and apologize to all the listeners all over the world.
Yeah.
For bringing them to you.
And for continuing to give them material to use so they have a show each week.
Are you reading that off of Wikipedia?
I am.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not. I mean, did you know that, you know, in August 5th, 1987, you know, Loose Cannon actually tried to feel a girl's boob.
Oh, wow.
And she smacked him in the face.
Good try.
I didn't read that on Wikipedia at all.
No?
No, okay. I just knew.
So I think, you know, in honor of Cobras and Fire, I myself, Tobacco, will raise this cold Coors Light. And for you, Chris, to toast Devin, I think you should crack open that
a double snooty IPA.
Well, I was going to say that pumpkin spice latte IPA you've got over there.
How'd you know?
Well, some people's tastes are the same.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
We are like the mirror.
You're like the Devin.
Yes. And you're the Baco.
I don't know how we should feel about
this. These assholes ripped us off. We'll see you guys in court.
Oh, man. So there you have it. You guys, congratulations on 200 episodes. Give us a call when you get to 400, and then we can talk. But for now, keep up the great work.
Yeah. Love you guys, and piss off.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. You're simply
Welcome to the premiere episode of Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Lewis Cannon.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Lewis Cannon, joined with
Vaco.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Vaco, and I am joined by the effervescent and always top five, Lewis Cannon.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Lewis Cannon, along with the non-existent Vaco.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. Once again, I am most definitely not Lewis Cannon.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Vaco. You know me mainly as a true New Yorker, but I am joined, as always, by the enigmatic Lewis Cannon. Lewis, how are you tonight?
I am well. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Lewis Cannon, and I am joined, as always, with the thunder and the lightning, Vaco. How are you, sir?
I am well, Lewis. How are you this evening? Hey, man.
Do I even know you, bro?
Man, that goes back almost 200 episodes.
It really does.
It really does. Let me ask you something real quick. When you messaged me at the start of this whole thing, after you came up with this genius idea of the Cobras and Fire podcast, was this your plan?
Yes, I decided that I would reach out to a man online that enjoyed some of his articles on Decibel Geek, and I thought, you know, the minimum I want from this interaction is going to be 200 that is 200 episodes of talking across state lines in my basement, and taking all that away from my family, countless hours editing, doing the show, not focusing on my career overall, losing income, and you know, basically not going to be as healthy as I was before, and yeah, this is exactly what I was looking for.
I know I really enjoyed the first time we recorded, but I will have to admit, I was a bit put off when you sent me that basically a contract that required me to do at least 198 more. At that point, then we can talk about, we can renegotiate.
Yeah. If you want, you'll come back again, you owe me 198 more. This is unpaid.
I like how you talk about it, too, like, you know, time away from your family. I'm like, yes, time away from my family. Like, this is like, I'm sorry, family, but daddy's going down to the basement.
That's right.
Y'all need to go to bed. Oh, man.
I mean, I can, there's definitely a through line of everything that's gone wrong since I've met you.
Oh, wow. I was going to say something nice about you, man.
Go ahead. Throw it back at me, bro.
Well, I will tell you this. I do have some very touchy-feely crap I'm going to hit you with towards the end of the episode. God. So if you want to get a box of Kleenex ready, because tears are going to flow. So I won't get too heavy on this. But one of the things that over the time that we've done the show that I really appreciated about you, because you have become a trusted friend and confidant in my life. In all seriousness, you're one of the people that I trust with so many things that are important to me in life. So I thank you for that. But as far as our relationship, I know you've been asked, and I've definitely been asked, like, you guys are so different. You must fight all the damn time. And I think the thing I appreciate about you and our relationship the most is that we're very kindred in one thing. We'll have heated debates. We'll argue even off air about the show and all this stuff. But when it comes to – we've never once had an argument about anything important. You know, I mean – It's nice that I have that comfort that I never have to worry about, like, the fact that you got pissed off at me about a McMars joke, and that's somehow going to affect our friendship or anything like that. It's never like that. Because our show is a show, but we've become friends, and we have lives, and things that have happened in the last 4 years that we've had to, you know, like, is everything okay? That kind of stuff. Without getting into details, it just knows that when something was really serious and it really mattered, things were taken care of, and we've never really had that kind of discussion that was negative. We've never had a fight that seemed like a fight. It always seemed like kind of a, like, two guys getting hammered, yelling about rat. Or
that is what we do. Can I summarize my analysis of my relationship with you?
Is it going to be not that bad?
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, that's a great summary because that's one of the many jokes that you've taken from me and made your own now.
What do you mean I took that joke? That's mine.
That is my line. Roll the tape. Go back. I was the first person who said, eh, not that bad. And then all of a sudden you're like, I like that. That is now mine. I'm going to say it at dinner in my family. See, here we are arguing, and it really doesn't matter.
Oh God! Next thing next thing you're gonna do is say that that I stole your Bobby doll bass jokes. Come on,
well, that's another one. But to be fair,
but yeah,
you can have that one.
Oh, thank you very much. You let me have the bad ones. Okay, so yeah, I would say yes. Yes, this is the stuff, the arguing about minutiae. I mean, who else besides the listeners and us care about the things we're talking about?
Nobody I work with or in a family with.
No, if you would have these conversations that we have about the ridiculous crap that the inside baseball, if you will, of the music industry. Thank God there's somebody I can talk to about this.
I know, because it's fun.
And the people actually want to listen to it. That's what's even crazier.
Oh, no. The show has grown so much.
Exponentially.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm actually very proud of the progress we've made, in spite of the fact that we've only become probably more comfortable with being jackasses.
Yeah. Yeah. But jackasses, lovable jackasses with transparency at the Cobras and Fire.
Yeah, we definitely
at the Cobras
have
and
that.
Fire, yeah, headquarters. You know exactly our opinion. If we are going to interview somebody, we are going to fuck with them. We still love them.
Yeah.
Yes, or we don't love them.
And honestly, most of them love it.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the cool things too. I mean, that's been a surprise. And that to find out that these people actually prefer like an interesting interview.
Hey, listen, if you want an interview that's basically a verbal press release, you go to Canada.
Oh my God. Well, hey, I have some 200 things though that we can kind of like use as a way to kind of measure what it means to actually achieve 200 episodes. Are you ready for these?
Bring that Minnesota math. Let's
all go. Right. Yeah. So Minnesota math. We haven't touched on Minnesota math in a while.
Yes.
So maybe Sonny Pooney can chime in.
Me.
Anyway, if every episode was 1 pound, we would be slightly heavier than the average adult male kangaroo.
You're saying that a kangaroo is just 200 pounds?
Well, the average male weighs up to 190 pounds, and they're fantastic jumpers.
I'm going to say that sounds off. I mean, I always think each one of those legs is at least like 75 pounds alone. I mean, the pure mass and muscle strength that those kangaroos have. plus also they got the pouch, and they're throwing around that little.
Well, these are male kangaroos, so no pouch.
Hmm.
Weird though, with the advent of like YouTube and that stuff. I had no idea that so many kangaroos were basically cut like a bodybuilder.
They're ripped. You remember that whole video about that? You ever see that video where that guy's like,
yeah,
shit, boxing with a kangaroo?
And the kangaroo like actually like gets up and like come at me, bro. And the guy does, and the kangaroo's, fuck, I didn't see that coming.
You know what? I think we have a new movie, The Bro-Roo.
How about like Dragon Bro has a kangaroo bro?
But yeah, I mean, okay, so 200 pounds.
All right, well, it would be 200 pounds would be 1 1/4 keg of beer. Now a keg of beer is 16 gallons, they say, okay. But actually you end up only getting 15.5. I don't understand how they come up with that.
No, there's the foam.
The foam.
Yeah, it's the foam factor.
Yeah, it could be.
How many gallons again?
Well, 16 gallons is a keg, but, you know, 15 okay. and a half.
All right, so 16, let me grab this here. I would like to know how many kegs of beer each of us have had since we started this. Let me grab this little Google calculator here. Okay,
while you're calculating, I'm going to speculate. I'm going to say 7 kegs in Minnesota and 3 asshole kegs in Colorado.
All right. Well, let's see. All right. Higher
I think we
octane.
Drink the same amount of alcohol. I just drink more beer.
Yeah. Your keg, $70 per keg. My keg, $700 a keg.
Gotta milk that fucker.
All right, so we got, okay, so 16 gallons is equal to 2,048 ounces. So I'm going to divide that by 12, and that is basically 170 cans of beer. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
200 episodes. That's less than one. We've had three kegs each, minimum.
At least, yeah. I was probably pretty close to my 7 and 3.
Wow. Wow. I wonder if when they
I have a drinking problem.
I wonder. I'm just imagining just that, just like us, like almost like an IV of beer from the keg, just from day one, just it flowing into us. But I would say I would love to see like a podcaster starter kit. Here's your microphone, blue mic, or your mixing board, and here's three kegs of beer. Make sure to restock this in 3 and 5 years. And for you, if you're in Minnesota, add another 2 to 3 kegs.
Oh,
that is amazing. And that's not even counting the creative teamwork we've done off mic in like the Rock and Pod Expo. I think that's an accident.
Oh, yeah,
another,
no doubt. Yeah, I mean,
that's at least that's at least a pony keg.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, 8 gallons or 7.5. Moving on.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
I want to know how many kegs in dog kegs would that be?
Oh, that would be you take the number of kegs, divide it by 7, and then take that number and multiply that by 7.
All right. I have to use the new math my kids learn right now. So.
Oh, well,
okay,
then,
continue.
Okay. Now, if every episode was $1, meaning we'd have $200, mm-hmm. you could buy a pair of Uggs.
That's your go-to for the measurement is Uggs?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I can say that for $200, I could spend that in a turntable, still another $100, and still not have a stylus that returns to its home at the end.
You motherfucker.
Got that?
You motherfucker.
You got that?
You motherfucker.
I'm sure Craig Smith is going to love that reference.
You motherfucker.
Well, one last one for you. If every episode was a foot, 12 inches.
You mean a Tommy Lee?
Exactly. So if every episode equaled one Tommy Lee, we would be taller or longer, depending on how you want to say it, than the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Is that how you like to say it?
Yeah, pizza.
Yeah, that's how Homer Simpson says pizza. But fuck, man, 200 episodes. Look, I'm very proud of what we accomplished on this, especially when you listen to the early episodes. It's amazing that we got this far.
No kidding. But I will say, too, is that my whole thing about this, when we got to where I realized we were going to be recording 200, because for whatever reason, the last 10, I've been looking at it and been like, holy shit. 191. There's something about like looking at that, like the landmarks. And I thought, oh my God. My question is, how far are we going to take this bit? I mean, are we going to take it another 30 years? Are we going to be 75 and you 81 at the time? And are we going to be at the Mick Mars Memorial Retirement Home? That
we should have
our
own wing at that point.
By the Mick Mars Memorial Retirement Home was founded in 1984, just so you know. But the point being is
fact.
That are we going to be – yes, fact. But are we going to be those guys playing checkers in the in the gazebo? Because I think gazebo has good acoustics. And we're actually doing our podcast at the same time yelling and shaking our fist at kids. Shaking your fist. We can actually be called the fist shakers. We can say cobras and fist shakers. And we can be there yelling at children going by and you saying like, and you, Paco, saying, in my day, look at these kids. I walked around for Perfect Acoustics with a turntable strapped to my back with a pair of can headphones and I would walk slow because I had respect for the music. I didn't want it to skip. I wanted the This not even mastered for vinyl, and you're walking around.
And Vic Ruiz chimes in with a 18 paragraph response that sort of contradicts me.
He's just typing angry in his retirement home. I mean, all the podcasts. Can you imagine?
Actually, he's starting to type his response right now that we'll get in 30 years.
All I have to say, too, is,
I love you,
is it like, oh, we love you.
Yeah.
But and by the way, check out decibelgeek.com. Completely
oh, yeah.
revamped the website.
Nice loads job, Vic.
It actually loads. And you can read it on mobile without having your head explode. But seriously.
but hold on. Back to the retirement home thing.
Yes,
you know how
please.
Like bands do their own cruises?
Yeah.
We're going to be like we're going to have the Cobras and Fire retirement home experience. And so like while we're recording, you know, we'll be living in the same retirement home with Bill Elam. We'll have Jason Kearney there. These guys will have their family, Todd Cunningham, you know,
I mean,
maybe even Eric Miller from Pods and Sods will be there. You know, who knows? You know, we'll just all be hanging out, still arguing about music and saying stupid shit. But
that would be great, wouldn't it? A retirement home of podcasters and the actual listeners.
That way we don't actually have to get up and post anything online or anything.
No, we just go.
It's old school. It's like vaudeville, baby.
No, just every day in the courtyard, we just get up and yell like crazy people. We just have people sitting down in you see like those cults where people are sitting Indian style, just watching us doing yoga, morning yoga while we yell. People are stretching and we're like, you guys trying to relax? How can you relax? Can you imagine? Quiet Riot comes out with Mental Health and they followed it up with QR3.
Stop the suffering, you could have stopped the screams, but now your reign is over, and it's all up to me. I'm gonna show you what I mean. Bury me with my guns on, so when I reach the other side, I can show him what it feels like to die. Bury me with my
This is Jumpin' Gene Simmons of the rock group Kiss. congratulations are in order to Luce and Baco. Baco? Baco? Is this one of those FM morning zoosh things? Okay. Ow! Wake up, sleepyheads. This is Gene Simmons of the rock group Kiss. Congratulations to everyone over at Cobras and Fire. 200 episodes. Congratulations. You know, I understand that when some people listen to your show, they go, Jesus, anyone can do this. So you probably inspired someone to do something. So I can see that you're monetizing your show, so that's good. The t-shirts and the merch, that's good. I see that you're being wise and fiduciary with your due diligence. I'd just like to say, Cobras and Fire, that's a band that I managed for, 6 months or something like that? I wonder whatever became of them. Anyway, so go to GeneSimmonsVault.com. Catch us on the End of the Road tour. Come see how the big boys do it. And this gets exhausting after a while. Congratulations, Cobras and Fire, Baco and Luce. Sounds like a fun date. You both would be very popular in prison.
Stepping stone. I'm not your stepping stone. You try to make your mark in society.
Using all the tricks that you used on me.
You're reading all those high fashion magazines. The clothes you wear and girl because the public sees.
I'm not your stepping stone. I'm not your stepping stone. I'm not your stepping stone.
Not your stepping stone. Not your stepping stone. Not your stepping stone.
Well, I said that we only argue about things that don't matter. But the reality is that music is what we're typically arguing about, at least in relation to the show and stuff like that. It music really does matter. It really is important to both of us. I know music has been there for the highs and lows in all of my life, and it really is a soundtrack to me. Like every day, it really matters to me what music is around me at almost any get together, and it's got to be the same for you.
Oh, absolutely. Drink. Here's the thing, though. I'm not a musician, and I know there are only 12 notes that a man can play. But somehow, there's the creativity, the whole thing about the perfect synergy of a band getting together, all those elements. I can't even fully wrap my mind around it. But yes, it is extremely important. And it's not just this is an important part of my life that's connected to. There's something about it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but I can't really, for me, because I'm not, unlike you, who is a musician, I can't really express what it is. I just know it's there. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think I recognize that in our relationship pretty early on, that like, it resonated with you. It mattered to you, like in certain kind of things. I got to believe when you go to parties, you want a certain sort of oral ambiance to kind of almost like I said. Ooh. To me, a
oral,
lot of stuff,
is that oral with an is it O R A L or A U?
It's A U.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or
Or
both.
Depends on what kind of movie you're watching, but either way, it's a soundtrack, right?
Yeah, no, it is. And I got to tell you, this is my public service announcement. This is a C and F PSA. Let me tell you, people. I am pretty sure that our listeners have never done this, but it is a crime against humanity to ever do this, to ever invite anybody into your home.
I was going to say, you're definitely not talking about masturbation.
No.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is you invite people to your home, you have a party, any kind of social gathering. I don't care what you're serving for food. I don't care what your setup is. If you do not have, and I don't care if it's if it's Lil Jon playing in the background, okay?
You better have. I don't care if it's that.
Okay, but I'm saying that I even give those people that have really shitty music playing credit to those that don't have a fucking song or any music playing in the background at a party. It is the most uncomfortable social situation for me to be in. Is a music fan or a human being to even have that. Here, I've got all this stuff. Let's just have dead silence in the background. Can we have not even white noise? How about you have those things that you fall asleep to in your rooms? Just play one of those things in rotation that has the little the rain in the background.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I had a conversation with somebody that I'd known for years, and he said this in conversation. You know what? I don't get concerts. I'm like, what do you mean? Just a bunch of people standing around listening to music. Boring. I've never talked to that person again. I've had so many social situations, I've gone to it, and he is one of these people that never has music playing in their home. I am to the point where this is how much I'm obsessed with music. I have playlists for certain social gatherings at my home, curated. And I am only comfortable when I have those in there. And that's how important it is to me. And I just – that's it. I'm done with that little rant. But my point is, do you know what I'm talking about when you've gone to a situation? Doesn't matter. Good music, bad music.
It's so weird.
A no music situation is the worst.
Yeah. And you ever notice that, like, too? Like, those happen to also be the parties that, like – there's all sorts of like weird, awkward silences. Like it's like almost like music stimulates conversation and movement,
right?
And like movement inspires thought and gets the blood flowing. It gets blood flowing to your brain. It's all connected if you think about it. You just feel better when stuff's happening. But I definitely know people that like they wouldn't know the difference between music being played or not being played, and also people that like don't. I don't understand concerts. You just spend all this money and then you stand there, you know.
Right. But I'm saying like in general, like having a party is a mood. That's part of the mood of it. You're creating this environment, and that comes to like planning a party. You have all these other elements where how could you not think of music as one of those elements? It doesn't matter what thing you set up for your gathering. So anyway, so
it's pretty much the first thing I consider.
Right. It's the first thing you have to have. And I'm saying when you don't have music, that's essentially an entire party of needles being scratched off the record where they have the – and somebody says like, and that's when I did asphyxiation when I finished off last night.
You motherfucker.
You know what I mean? Like that's essentially the entire party of silence.
100% on board. I think, and I guarantee this is going to be some of our listeners. We're not going to have a hard time convincing them that this is something that matters.
We're,
so
we're preaching to the whatever the choir. What is it?
The choir. Yeah.
Choir. Yeah, right. The audience is our choir.
Well, this seems like a good time to point out that we're kind of doing a two-episode thing here. Not only is it our 200th episode where we're basically sucking our own cocks, it's also Christmas time, baby. We got some presents. You want to open the first present?
I just need to correct you, though, and maybe you can fix in this post. It's actually sucking our own atoms.
Oh, it's Saturday night.
Hey!
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, baby.
Twisted Sister, for God's sakes.
So let's open some presents.
Yes.
All right. We got a package here from Jason Kearney, one for you. And one for me. Do you want to – you take the lead. Why don't you open yours first? I'll open mine.
Oh, sure. Yes. This is straight from Reno from Jason Kearney. Let's see here. By the way, I had one of the beers he recommended, but I'm not sure how it can be sold anywhere. It's called Reno as Fuck is the actual beer. That's what it says on the beer can.
Does it say as fuck or AF?
No, it actually says as fuck. No, apostrophe or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They don't sell it at my church.
They don't use that as the normal source of communion. Listen, way, I know that
in my church, you know, my church is drunk as fuck.
Can you imagine communion? They go like they have like gluten free wafers now. They're like you can have the wine, you can have your little grape juice, or you can have a swig of Reno as fuck.
That's how, by the way, the gluten free wafers is how Jesus got to your wife.
Is that what it was? All right, so I'm going to open up my present from Jason Kearney, supporter for almost day one of the show.
Yes.
Let's take a look here. All right, looks like it's a book. It's called Karma Putra, 52 Mind-Blowing Ways to take a Poop. Thank you, Jason.
Oh, nice. Well,
hopefully there's lots of pictures and diagrams, too.
Mine looks like a book too. Let's hopefully with that. I can't imagine what he got. I mean, hold on a second here.
All right.
So let's see what Jason got me. It is, of course, it is a book. So people say you're an asshole. Do they?
What?
Thank you, Jason. Oh, hey, whoa. Hey, turn to the back end page cover. Do you have a ticket to the Poison, Motley Crue, and Def Leppard and Joan Jett tour?
Ooh, I do.
Yeah, nice. Right. Bonus. I'm sitting in 650. Where are you sitting?
I'm in 575. So we're sitting alone.
All right.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
She got an angel's face and a devil's grin. She kinda stared me down as I looked her up. She said, I'm your poison, now you drink a cup. Comes alive. She gonna push it till she's satisfied. I want your eyes melt first on the red hot lips. She whispers, if you wanna taste my love, why don't you swallow this?
But our podcast, I'm very proud of it. It's been moderately successful. Kind of like I think one of the first jokes I made about another podcaster was that I think Eric Miller, I called him a moderately attractive man.
Sure.
We're a moderately attractive podcast. But on that note, this show has actually brought a lot of other people into both our lives that we've actually, you know, I'm pretty proud to call friends and things of that nature. But one of the best things about podcasting is that there is a real community of support where people will guest on each other's shows. We'll talk about each other, and we'll be resources for, you know, other programs that might reach out to us at another point too. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. Yeah, I mean there's countless shows I listen to only because they sound like ours now.
Nice, we've had an influence, right?
There's a lot of new noise out there.
Well, I would like to take a moment to list off some of the shows that I listen to and pay attention to, just to share some of the love, if that's all right. You can add any that I miss. All right.
Sure.
Ages of Rock is a show that I've started listening to a lot more, I think in the last year. I love the show Cobras and Fire. Have you ever heard of that one?
Cobras and Fire, sex in your headphones. Cobras and Fire, while work or at home, on a mission for to save rock and roll for the rock and rollers. There's Cobras and Fire. Cobras and Fire, rock's not dead. Cobras and Fire, you just found it, my friend. On a mission for to save rock and roll for you rock and rollers. Here's Cobras and Fire. Cobras and Fire.
Yeah, but that's the one I listen to the most.
Of course, Decibel Geek. They basically are responsible for this shit show. Disciples of the Watch podcast. I like the Drinking Bros. Growing Up Rock. I Love It Loudcast. In Obscuria is a new one. That's that guy Kevin Williams that we met. He bought us a beer there back in Nashville. But his
show
is actually really good. I didn't mean it like that. Julian Gill, of course, the eloquent, the jolly old pip at the Kiss FAQ podcast. If you look, I think I've made it clear. The only Kiss podcast I listen to regularly is a Kiss Room, but the Kiss FAQ podcast, when Julian's interviewing someone, I almost always listen to. But sometimes they'll be talking about a record that I want to listen to or whatever. But all sorts of good nuggets coming out of there. Podcast on the Left, which Craig Smith threw me
on.
You
motherfucker.
Apparently, they're becoming a Spotify exclusive podcast, which is kind of a bummer. Podkissed, of course, with Ken Mills. And he's, of course, got Pop with him and Christine the Button Queen, who also got us a present, by the way, coming up. I love ProFootballTalk.com. Is it okay to talk about non-rock ones?
Yep.
All right, Ricky Rockman's Cat House. I've been a subscriber since he's been on our show. Rock Solid with Pat Francis. Rock and or Roll, and of course, the Rock and Metal Combat podcast. Rock Strikes 10. The Shout It Out Loudcast is another Kiss podcast that suddenly got on my radar. Their first couple episodes didn't do it for me, but they've really kind of found their groove, and they kind of got that snarky attitude towards Kiss, but also celebrate at the same time. I like Talk To Me, of course. I Love and You Hate. Have you checked out, Lewis, this is a serious question, the 500 with Josh Adams? He basically does a weekly episode of based on the 500 greatest albums of the list that Rolling Stone did. He's counting down from 500.
Huh. All right. Well, no, I
only listen to the records that I care about, but he did Kiss Destroyer with who's that roast guy on Comedy Central?
Oh, Jesus. I know who you're talking about, but the main guy.
The bald comedian.
Yes, I know who you're speaking of.
Anyway, Dan Patrick Show, of course. The Joe Rogan Experience. I've been listening to The Plug with Bushy and The Mountain Man since we met him. Pods and Sods, of course, is basically some of my idols. Going to be seeing Craig Smith soon. And nice. Tramps Like Us with Lee McCormick. Of course, he's probably banging some chick right now. But once he's off the squish, hopefully he'll maybe he'll be listening to us while he's doing it. And, of course, I do like The Mark Maron Show, but it really depends on who he's interviewing. Did I miss any? What do you want to say?
No, that pretty much covers it. I mean, I'm not sure if you know Lee McCormick's sidecast is called Squish.
It fucking should be.
But no, I'll tell you about you listen.
Hey,
so
by the way,
many...
it's not a sidecast; it's a side action.
Okay, sorry. If you listen to all that huge list of podcasts, you're like, how can you even absorb that much? You know, you can listen to some episodes, you can listen to all the episodes, you're commuting, your things like that. But it is amazing the amount of content that's out there from people that just want to provide, that have a passion for whatever their podcast focus is, that's providing that to you, to your ear holes. And so there's something for everybody out there. That's a pretty comprehensive list. I will tell you, for comedy aspect, if you liked Anchorman, they have the Ron Burgundy podcast, which I find hilarious too. That's been out for like the last year. If you want some comedy,
I will say this: like our show is basically 1 hour a week,
And I mentioned that because that's why there's room for everybody. That's why we all benefit from being positive and not being some dickhole up in Canada, you know, being pissed off and butthurt about shit and not being three dudes eating and complaining about Kiss while they claim to love Kiss for 2 hours every week. We should be together on this. We can all support each other. There is time for everybody out there to listen to the shows they want to listen to. It's not like if you listen to us for 1 hour a week, you can't listen to any other show. There's all sorts of other hours in the day that you can listen. So that's why it's beneficial. And that's why I love the community. That's why I love that Rock and Pod brought all that stuff together. And it's just made a lot of friendships for me.
Exactly. It is amazing that it's called community. In other words, we're all together, people. We're all together, united in basements and microphones.
I don't
talking about
friend.
Shit that doesn't really fucking matter to the masses. Together. The point is together. If you are on the outside of the community, then you will not grow and you will not succeed overall. I will tell you that. Your time will end.
Well, on the note of things that don't matter, you got kind of cryptic there. On the note of things that don't matter, we have a present from Bill Elam.
Oh, good.
I'm going to open the card here. Hold on. It just simply says Happy Crimble, Luce and Baco, and
some
reason
Crimble.
The card is shaped like a penis.
Okay, all right.
All right, so I'm going to open the box here. This is apparently for both of us. It's a pretty small package, though. Got a joke there for Tommy Lee?
It doesn't suck.
No, that's good enough. Well, then.
Oh, it's a gift certificate.
Ooh.
Apparently he rented it's for a double bay cruiser rental for us to record an episode on. And our the boat captain is going to be Tom. Hey, it's going to be Tommy
it
Lee.
Doesn't suck.
So he's going to we got to make him honk the horn, right?
Obviously.
Enough gas for one boat, two tow straps to drag the other two. I'm not sure what that means.
I think that has to do with the Kiss
nice, Bill, thank you. And it's containing the R8. Oh yes, it does, because it's like the straps are tied to a containing our 8 top fans from our Facebook page. And of course we get free Cusano Caesar salads for us and our guests. There's one box here, Luce. Maybe you should open this. What is this?
Oh, nice. It's four packs of White Claw to wash it all down.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, baby.
I need one of those right now. Hold on. White Claw.
Ain't no law.
Thank you, Bill. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Join forces.
think music mattered more in my life than it did when I was going through puberty.
Well, of course not.
Did you ever make a mixtape for a girl?
Oh, yeah. I had to have done it at least a couple times, throwing it out there, thinking it was a good bait, right?
Man, it never worked.
No, it really didn't.
And for prom, I actually labeled the tape Sure Fuck. And
what?
Yeah, I have a box of all my old cassettes. If that fucker's in there, I'm gonna take a picture of it and throw it on the Facebook group.
Hold
page.
On for a second. You gave the tape
to the girl
that said sure fuck?
That's a valid question. No, okay. I did not hand my prom date a tape that said sure fuck mixtape. What I did is I made a tape that I labeled Sure Fuck Mixtape, and that fucker was in my car the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm happy to say that it was not successful. It worked as good as every other mixtape I made. The problem is every time I made a mixtape, as much as I wanted it to be like this connection, right, too much of my personal taste influenced it. In other words, sure. It would just be like a mishmash of like, these songs are awesome, and not really... any real like effort to connect with the person as an individual. I was just horny and I like these songs and I think we can fuck while listening to these songs was how I made my mixtapes. I don't know about, how about you?
I can tell you right now that I made some like burnt CD though for my wife when I was dating, that I can tell you this much. Right now, when you just mentioned the whole thing about your influences and doing this, it was a pretty good mix, I think, except for no apparent reason, I decided to slam Come On and Love Me, like Kiss in there. It's almost like an instruction manual.
Please tell me she was born in July.
Nope.
Bummer.
Basically, I don't think that any of my mixtapes were ever successful. The one I just described did not destroy. Anytime you make those, it's basically like, hey, man, or hey, woman, in that case. Yeah. I'm a cool guy that knows a bunch of deep tracks, and I'm going to throw some ballads in there, but I'm going to throw some rockers in there, too, and I hope you like Tool. I mean, the mixtapes are kind of fucked up, right?
Yeah. Well, because the people who make them are really into music. They're trying to communicate two things that are not they don't sync well. One,
right.
I really want to have sex with you. And the other being like, I really dig these tunes.
And maybe on that end, talk about the whole sex thing is that maybe it's a little too overt when you put Tool's track Prison Sex in there. Yeah?
Oh, yes, it depends on who you send on the mixtape to.
That's true. And if you're in prison, you're like, oh, this is all right. So
we should open some more prisons, so let's get a couple out of
please.
The way here.
Okay, let's go.
I got some from Eric Miller, but it's not a present. It's a voice message.
All right. That's cool.
Let's go ahead and play it here.
Hey, this is Eric Miller from the Pods at Sods Network. And I want to congratulate Baco and Loose Cannon on their 200th episode. That's easily like 200 plus, 300 plus hours of content, maybe, and definitely like 3 or 4 minutes of quality content. But seriously, congratulations, guys. You're bot free. You do great interviews. I love the Michael Sweet, Jeff Tate, Toby Wright talking about Jar of Flies, Sammy Hagar. That's great fun. I love Baco's concert photos. I think that's maybe when I first really noticed you, Mr. Baco. Your Chris Cornell photos. I think I sent you a note. Those were fantastic. You guys make excellent graphics. Your editing is top notch. Had the pleasure of meeting you guys at the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo with the infamous Jerk Socks. You guys have been super kind. I've listened to every single episode. I just wish you guys lived closer so there was like a way, I don't know, that I could buy you a beer. If only there was a way. Maybe you should incorporate that in your show somehow. I don't know. I'm just dreaming here, but seriously, congratulations on your dozens and dozens of downloads. I also want to give a shout out to Jay and Bill Elam because I know they're definitely listening. I love those guys too. Jokes aside, you guys are two solid dudes, two good people. I'm deeply honored to call you friends. You know, the true blessing of this podcast community of ours is connecting with fine folks like you. So congratulations on 200 episodes. Here's wishing for another 200 and beyond. Love you guys.
Oh, man, that was super nice. Yeah, I really appreciate everything you said. He busted our balls and also gave us, gave us some props. And
you know what he didn't give us, though?
What's that?
A gift.
That's true.
What a fucking cheap ass. Hey, thanks for the voicemail.
Yeah, thanks for the voicemail. Is that what he's sending to all his loved ones for Christmas? hey, by the way, here's my voicemail. And also, I could buy you a beer and reference that, but I never have. Nor will I. You're going to have this voicemail.
I donated to the Human Fund in his name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's my gift to Eric Miller.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks, Eric, for that. But let's open some real gifts, right?
Yeah, let's move on from that guy.
Dave Brewington stepped up to the plate. He apparently thought a voicemail was a little too, cheap.
Cheap? Yeah, that would be the right word.
So Dave got us both a present here. So do you want me to open mine first or you?
Please. Yeah, open up Man of the People DeBrews from Blame Your Brother podcast gift. Yes.
All right, I'll open the first one.
Go ahead.
All right, so it's kind of a, I don't know. Again, it looks kind of bookish. Hold on. The Rap Yearbook. The most important rap song from every year since 1979, discussed, debated, and deconstructed.
I'm sorry, we must have the wrong edition, because his book that I think he likes is from 1998 forward, involving Puff Daddy.
Lord. Apparently, he thinks I'm running out of paper towels and I need something to soak up water with.
No kidding.
Thank you for that, David. What has he got you?
Ooh, I definitely know this is an album from The Shape. Hold on. Let me open it.
He's not a very creative rapper, is he?
No, not at all.
Biggie.
Ooh, it's the Notorious B.I.G.'s Ready to Die exclusive splatter-colored double album.
I'll take Things I Never Listened to for $1,000, Alex.
Here we go. Not even good for a Frisbee.
No. There's one more there. Why don't you open that one?
Ooh, thank you. Understanding Rap. Explanations of confusing rap lyrics that you and your grandma can understand. No bullshit. I own this book. It is hilarious.
Then I get that copy.
Okay, I'll send it to you. I already have this. I read it to my kids every night to go to bed.
I'm sensing a theme in his gifts.
Yes, I think so too. Yes. It's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. End of discussion.
Dave Brewington from the Blame Your Brother podcast. Definitely check those guys out. A lot of fun, and they have a lot of fun with us. So thank you.
All right.
Thank you for that. All right, let's open one more before we go any further. This is from Christine the Button Queen from Pop, one of Ken Mills' many, 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 many podcasts. Many. Well, it looks like she might have got us the same thing. Their boxes are the same size.
Ooh, okay. Go ahead.
You want me to open my own for? No. Okay. Hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
It's a button that says "Happy 200 episodes." Okay.
Ooh, nice. All right. Does she have like a whole manufacturing facility to make all the buttons? Is that her whole thing? Is she working an actual button factory?
I think it's her a closet in her house.
The closet in her house is what, a button factory?
Yeah.
What, is there a pressing plant in her closet?
You're actually asking me?
Yeah.
Have you never seen how buttons are made?
Please, tell me.
You know those things that like you put meat in and you grind it and you turn it by hand and it turns it into hamburger?
Uh-huh.
It's similar.
So she can make hamburger and make a button for dinner.
They're not the same thing.
All right.
Just open your present.
Okay. Can I open mine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, looks like the same damn thing. She made this with her hamburger helper.
All right. She also sent along a voice message. See Eric Miller? He can send both.
Ooh,
a present, a present and a voicemail. Let's take a listen to what Christine had to tell us.
Hey, Baco. Hey, Luce. It's Christine the Button Queen from Zilch and Pop and the Fun Size Show and Podkissed and the Kiss Room and Cheap Talk and any other show that the dumbass mind of Ken Mills can think up tomorrow. I made special happy 200th episode buttons for each of you. You know right where you can stick it. See both of you puds at Rockin' Pod 4 this summer. Love you both. Happy 200th.
Like Stephen King writes horror. If I was a Jew, then I'd light a menorah. I got rhymes for ya, excuse me, senora. Are you a horror? Are you a lady? Is it Eric Boyer or Marsha Brady? Let me know, hun, the deed'll get done. Just on some reposition, I'll take my rod and then I'll go fishing. I'll get your river flowing, I'm always in the knowing. It comes to giving pleasure, I'm every woman's treasure. I came to work your body, so let me do my job. I've never been laid off, my rhyme is still paid off. Now I'm making records, now I'm making tapes. Steady busting suckers in bunches like grapes. Making all the papes, scooping up the loot. Putting suckers on the run, pull my gun in and I shoot. I never been a front, I never been a fraud. I got a natural skill, for that I thank the Lord. Cause I feel blessed, I'm casually dressed. I always got my gun, but I never wear a vest. I'm quick on the draw, like a horse named McCraw. From the cartoon, boom, shalak, lock, boom, shalak, lock, boom. Alright now, boom, shalak, lock, boom. Everybody, boom, shalak, lock, boom. Breaker, breaker, here comes the caper. Straight with the taper, the lyric skyscraper. Hit you like a lyrical murderer. I know you think I have, but yo, I never heard of you. Just because you heard of me, kid. Until you do the lifetime bid, I'll put you in the dirt and leave you after dead. When it comes to tools, these are sharpest in the shed. Cause I'm the 55 Cadillac King. It ain't no thing, my car don't ring. We'll brush you in the grill, I got the skill. You got to chill. I bring doom. I got the boom, shalak, lock, boom. Boom, shalak, lock, boom. All right now. Boom, shalak, lock, boom. Everybody. Boom, shalak, lock, boom. All right now. Boom, shalak, lock, boom. A little louder. I put you in the dirt.
This episode, obviously the theme is, why is music important to us? Mm-hmm. What is it played into our lives in general? Everything from parties, social gatherings, and while we have absolutely nothing in common, except for one thing, we are both married. Mm. What role did music play in your actual wedding?
Oh boy, that's kind of a loaded question. I mean, the lead up counts, right?
What do you mean the lead up?
I mean, it's not just the wedding.
You're talking about the mixtapes?
Oh, yeah, kind of.
All right.
Well, first of all, I met my wife at a Jesus Chrysler show.
Groupie.
Yeah, exactly. I met her at a Jesus Chrysler show, but we actually didn't actually... Oh, I think we didn't start dating until a few years later. But that was kind of the first step. Without the meeting, there's nothing, right? Early in the relationship, when we were kind of, I was still courting her, and we were still at that just before that stage of deciding is this serious or not serious, is that the song "Roll with the Changes" came on the radio at work, and the lyrics reminded me a lot of what was happening with her personal life. And whether or not, you know, what she should be doing. And I sent that. I actually wrote the lyrics down by hand and mailed it to her. So that was kind of a romantic moment for me. That's the closest I get to a mixtape with my wife, Amy. Shortly after that, we took things kind of to the next level as a relationship wise, and she moved in with me. Then music, we're very kindred spirits. But she likes a lot of the stuff I like musically, but she likes a lot of shit that I can't fucking stand. But I think the greatest thing about her, and the first time in my life when I was in a serious relationship where I started thinking I actually might want to marry this person, was the idea that, like, she actually would talk kind of like you and I do sometimes about music, and we would debate, and it didn't seem to matter. Like, it was just fun. And the idea that I could have fun talking about music with someone for the rest of my life really appealed to me, and that was a big part of it. And when we did get married in Vegas, I've talked about it on the show, that Danzig, one of my top five or ten artists of all time, he was kind of like our wedding band because he played the night before our wedding. But when we did get married by Dracula on Halloween, the play out song, I remember I told you about that letter, was "Roll with the Changes," and they queued it up perfectly. Like, "I now pronounce you man and wife." And so honestly, music's been a big part of everything we've done ever since. She goes to concerts with me. We listen to music all the time. She's actually started buying some vinyl, and she'll bring it home, and she'll want to throw it on the little turntable and play it. She's the better half of me. She is perfect. But music, it was definitely instrumental in every decision I've made regarding my wife. So she was also supportive of everything, including what we're doing right now.
Which is impressive.
Yeah.
That last part is impressive, being supportive of this.
Yeah.
But no, it's a beautiful story, man. Well,
let me kick it to you. Like, you obviously set this up for a reason. I mean, music's pretty much part of every moment of your life, it seems like. So what about your wedding?
Yes. So I'm going to take the other aspect. And that story was beautiful. Mine is going into...
Oh, of course.
mine is going to an obsessive compulsive. Every single thing needs to be mapped out for social gatherings. So my part is that we're planning for, like, you went to Vegas and got married by Dracula and things like that. My whole thing was that I refused, and this is before even I met my wife. I said, like, I am sick of going to weddings that have DJs. Like, I've been to people say, like, oh, I don't even care if they play. I'm like, if I'm going to...
The Adam Sandler movie, The Wedding Singer, really affected you, didn't it?
It really did. Like, I said, if I'm getting married, I'm getting a band, and I'm not getting a wedding band. I'm not getting a wedding singer. Where we lived at the time, I actually scouted for like 6 months, like a maniac, bar bands, going to Irish pubs, going to all these kind of things, and hiring a band that I knew it could play every single thing I want. I programmed these motherfuckers like a jukebox. I saw their set list on their site. I said, these are like the 300 songs we play. I said, this is the order. This is the set list you play. This is the order you play.
Can you give me five songs that you do recall, or...
Oh, it's basically I just
it's like had White them Snake.
Oh, yeah. No, I just
Still
said,
the Night. I want Rainbow in the Dark by Dio.
I made a concession where they played three sets. It was a long reception. They played three sets. In between, we had like dance music in between and stuff like that. But they would play for like 45 minutes. But one of the things, I'm not sure if you knew that, they had their third set was nothing but Rolling with the Changes, but different versions of it. They would play Rolling with the Changes. Then they play an acoustic version. They played, you know, like a ska version. But it was all that. Oh, nice. I don't know. We've never made that connection before. That was our song, too, just so you know.
As soon as you're ready, loose, I'm able.
But we had also, like we did, you know, if you had the wedding party and they get brought out first before the actual bride and groom walk out, too, for that part of it. I had, like, the theme, the main down, the, like, Kill Bill thing for that part.
Yeah, nice.
And then we came out, of course, to we came out to Welcome the Jungle because, come on. That's a great intro. Listen, if you can play it every kickoff at the NFL, you can play it in a fucking way. So it was that kind of stuff. But everything was calculated to the point where even the dinner, I had like a playlist that was curated with songs that had rock elements, but at least were chill enough to when everybody was eating dinner for that part too. So my point is, to the point of obsession, music has played a big part of my life, and that was obviously one of the most important nights of my life. So, but that's my whole thing. Is that how it trickles down to all these different aspects. I don't have a beautiful story like you did for that part, but I'm talking about from another end of just what the fuck is my problem? I mean, every single thing. I'm like, at this point, this is going to happen.
Now, was that the one thing your wife let you have, and then she dictated every other detail?
For the night,
yeah.
I'll just go with that for the show's sake.
This is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from the Ron Keel Band, Steeler Keel, blah, 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 reporting in live from the hot tub on this epic 200th episode of the Cobras and Fire podcast. Congratulations, guys, on your bicentennial edition of the show. You know, 200 is a lot. 200 degrees here in the hot tub, it'll cook me like a lobster. And 200 shots of whiskey will definitely kill you. 200 calories isn't very much, though, and $200 doesn't go far these days. But 200 episodes of the Cobras and Fire podcast, now that is worth celebrating. Thanks, guys, for choosing our Fight Like a Band album as one of your top five albums of the year. For all the great entertainment and good times, cheers on your 200th episode, and here's to many more. Live the rock!
Wow! Okay, I do have one kind of short wedding story that's not related to my mine or your marriage, but my sister got married when I was 15, and she had a DJ. Right, maybe this adds some credence to your argument that you only get a band, not a DJ, right? I spent the entire night, you know, like I said, I was 15. I was into music, and I befriended the DJ. I actually convinced this idiot to let me DJ while he took, like, a 10-minute cigarette break, right?
Oh, God.
I swear to God. You can call my sister. You can tell her. She'll back this up. The first song I played was Eruption from Van Halen. That dude was back right away, and I was not playing any more songs.
So you got 45 seconds.
Yeah, I don't even think he let Eruption finish. I don't think he got out the door. He was going to go out the door, like walk through the building to the door to have a cigarette, and I don't think he was gone before he came back.
That's great. I'll tell you another thing, too. The only thing I told you that, of that story, since we joke around a lot, that entire breakdown of that night, the only thing that's a joke is that third set was the Rolling with the Changes. But to the point where I'll tell you this much.
You walked
Oh, yeah, I did. All that stuff is true. But the fact is that of those three sets, on the third set, the reality is they actually started deviating from my set list that I gave them. They've started playing shit I didn't like. First off, I pulled the singer aside. They kept doing it. I shorted them $300 that night.
Ooh.
Do not fuck with my set list. That's the theme.
Not on
That's
your wedding day, man.
No, man. Come on.
Anyway, weddings and funerals, buddy. Let's wrap up. We have a bunch of presents to open. Let's bust out
these presents and get out of here. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, let's start with Todd Cunningham's gift. He's got us each one, and he got a card for the both of us. Why don't you open the card?
Sure. It says, I wanted to buy you two books I think you would like to read. You woe how to read, right? Ha, ha, ha. I do like to read if it's proper grammar, Todd.
Oh, cut him some slack. All right, well, let me open my present here. It's a book. Again, do we come off as readers? We got a lot of books today.
It does seem that way, yes.
All right, well, I thought if
purge them.
Hopefully yours is an ebook. No encore, musicians reveal their weirdest, wildest, most embarrassing gigs. Thanks, Todd. Ooh.
Thank you, thank you. Can I open mine?
Yeah, go for it.
I see. It's Dirty Rocker Boys by famed author Bobby Brown. An uncensored Hollywood tell-all filled with explicit tales of love, sex, and revenge from the video vixen made famous by Warrant's rock anthem, Cherry Pie. Also comes with a free STD.
That's a hell of a second title, too.
It is. I mean, my God.
Are there pictures?
Just the centerfold.
You want to trade?
That's fine. The subtitle is just called Spank Bank. That's a much tighter title than that I just went through.
Oh, my God. Can you give yourself chlamydia?
You might be able to. I don't know.
Our next gift, oh, boy, this comes from the Podfather, Ken Mills. I'll open this card. Hold on. It says,
please.
Hold on. As it is the holiday season, I have to wish Luce and Baco happiest of holidays, this in all seasons. He's so eloquent, isn't he? Thank God we have Thanksgiving this year, since there was a war on Thanksgiving. Whew. We sure did dodge a bullet. God damn it. Anyway, congratulations on recording 200 episodes. What a milestone. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing to think you did that many. And amazing to think anyone listens to them. Yeah. what the hell does that mean, Ken? Just kidding. Oh, there we go. Okay, now I'm back. Glad to know you guys. Here's to another 800 episodes. I think Ken's going to be in a retirement home with us. He's going to be like, he's going to have his own, the Podfather wing. All right, let's also, he's got this little package. It's got both our names on it. Hold on here. He got us each a value pack of gym socks. Oh, man. Yep. Well, thank you very much, Ken. See, Eric Miller, you could have just got us a box of socks. It's even that's better. Better than nothing, right?
Yes.
Well, we really do appreciate the sentiment of the voicemail.
Sure. But sentiments can also be deleted.
Exactly. But socks are, forever, but.
They're definitely not forever. They're basically a good weekend for me.
Use once and destroy.
Yeah.
Yeah, once they can hold their own weight, get rid of them. So.
Oh, God! It's a little much. I was just going for subtlety.
We have one gift left. This comes from our friend over at Decibel Geek, Aaron Camaro. Super cool guy. Ooh. Drives a Camaro. It's addressed to both of us, but it's in one box. You mind if I open this one?
Please.
All right, so let's get it open here. Let's see. Ooh, Well, these are a matching set, so one for you and one for me, it looks like, of detachable Steve Miller balls.
Nice.
He's got a little note. Okay. He basically has a post-it that he put on there. He says, "You can quickly attach them whenever you need to not be intimidated. Perfect for confrontations with overly jubilant Green Bay Packer fans or disgusted witch managers and self-important Hall of Fame ceremony organizers."
I love it. That's an entire box of inside jokes.
Yeah, no doubt. Hold on. There's a card, too.
Okay.
This is Merry Christmas. I wouldn't have considered myself a huge Steve Miller fan, but after hearing his vulgar display of testicles on your Hall of Fame episode, my respect for him grew so much that I started checking out deeper cuts. I found some good stuff that I never knew existed. Thanks, dudes. Merry Christmas. Well, thank you, Aaron Camaro.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Vulgar display of testicles? That's definitely going to be an album title.
Yeah. Definitely going to be the name of our next Pantera episode, right?
Yeah, sure. We'll get right on that.
Okay. All right. Now we got a couple more. These are a little bit outside the box, though. This one is from LaFons. Let's see what he got us. People go back and listen to the lost episode for a little update on our relationship with LaFonzie. Got here. It is a framed cease and desist order. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well done. Signed by SoundCloud in the bottom.
Yeah, it probably is. I'm going to mount that down here in Cobra Studio North.
Do you mind getting a copy of that? Because I do want one of my studio too to look at.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll make sure. I'll take it down to Kinko's tomorrow and get it framed and send your way. So, why don't you open this next one? It's got your name on it. So it's from who is it from?
Let's take a look here. All right. Ooh, it says it's from Witch to Loose. Here we go. Here we are. Oh, I'm not sure if this is a hint or not, but it's just a Subway gift card for $1,000.
Hmm. All right. Well, that seems subtle. All right. We have one here from the Imagine Dragons for me. Let's see what we got here.
Who knew? Imagine Dragons sending you gifts.
Oh, just a pair of earplugs. Must be for when I'm attending their shows, I guess. Hey, if you don't like it, don't listen, right? That's what we say. That must be what they're telling me.
They actually give those to all their concert attendees.
And that last one looks like it's for you, Luce.
Ooh, it says from Mankini. Nice. All right. Hmm. Straight from
that's
kind of
surprising.
Let's take a look here.
The Windy City.
Oh. Detroit is the Windy City.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's for you, Stephen Michael.
Look at this. It's an Untuckit shirt.
That doesn't seem like something you would get from him, but apparently...
Well, it's not for him. It's for us.
I stand corrected.
Yeah. He's a giver.
Well, Luce, I would like to say Merry Christmas to you. 200 episodes, and we're wrapping up the year here. Any special plans for Christmas this year?
Yes, to spend more money than I earn and pay it off the following 2 months. What about you?
Yeah, something fairly similar. So I'm basically, this time of year, I'm told what to do and where to go. So that's my plan for the rest of the month. So
how do you want to end this ride, this ride of 200 episodes? We're coming into the, you know, our stop is coming up here. It's near the end.
Yeah, it's been difficult to get through it all with all the emotions and whatnot. But thank you first. First of all, thank you to all the listeners who check in and every week and have, you know, helped us grow as we've gone. It's definitely helped keep us motivated, to continue to do it. But also, thank you to everybody who helped out and chimed in on this episode, you know, with voicemails, Christmas gifts, all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. And we'll be back next year in 2020 with all new content. But lastly, and then I'll turn it over to you, Luce. I did mention at the beginning that you needed to grab a box of Kleenex because I was going to, you know, give you a very heartfelt statement. And, you're probably going to well up a little bit here. But when I was thinking about... When we're prepping for this episode, I was thinking back to, you know, when you actually first reached out to me. And now that I've gotten to know you since that time, I realize how unlikely things are that they timed up and actually worked for us. Because really, you are a person who acts very quickly on a thought, but when you don't, you move on very quickly too, and it's basically gone. You know what I mean?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and so.
But once I act on that thought, I fucking work that thought.
Oh yeah, I'm not doubting your commitment. I'm just saying you move very fast in your head mentally. I guarantee a lot of people have gotten messages from you and then no follow up over the last 2 years. So I'm sure probably your whole life, your lifelong friends might know better. But
there is a pattern.
But since we're patting ourselves on the back today and congratulating ourselves for 200 to say, I just wanted to take a second to say thank you to you. I have really enjoyed all this. I'm glad you reached out to me. I'm glad to have gotten to know you. I do appreciate our friendship, and I look forward to continuing to do this as long as we feel like it. So thank you for that moment in 2015 for reading my article and going, you know what, I want to do a podcast with this Danko Jones loving idiot. So.
Was that actually the tearjerker?
That's
it,
man.
That's it? That's all you got?
I oversold it, huh?
You definitely oversold that. That just sounds like something you say for somebody you just met a little bit when you're giving a congratulations speech for exceeding goals for the quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I do consider you a close friend. I appreciate it. All the off-air stuff we talk about, it means a lot to me.
Well, yeah, I got to say something to you now?
Sure, whatever.
Okay, I'll tell you this much. It is people like you, Bucko, and the podcast community in general, but I'll be more specific to you, that lets me know that I may be crazy to know this much useless crap about bands and in general music and this just overall obsession. But the fact that there is not just someone like you out there, but our listeners that care about this crap too and find it amusing. And keep tuning in and more keep tuning in every week. It keeps me motivated. It makes me proud to be an American.
America.
America. Ah!
Sharks, and now we're on to you. No good. Tell the people that they're attractive evil. Hold up, Super Screamer. Our game is getting meaner. Saw the look of terror, but they'll never get your heartbeat. Bare feet, yellow fang, no teeth. Heartbeat, bare feet, yellow fang, no teeth. Keep the wolves at bay. Well, now they're underneath. I hear what you say. You're lying through your teeth. Lead the young astray. They're marching two by two. I swim with the sharks, and now we're on the air.
And Matt Porter would be like, that's fucking genius.
Exactly. If he knows his Zodiac
sign. So can I...
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who helped make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.